Hello, good morning. Well, I guess we'll start off with the excitement with coming in here. Obviously, it was my wingman that ended up sailing off the end of the air, the runway when we came in here. So that's an unfortunate turn of events, obviously, to come in here. Not the ideal place to have an airplane malfunction. He did have a malfunction. They're looking at that, obviously. The good thing is he was probably the most experienced flyer we have, so better him than me. And also in the leadership chain and whatnot. So anyway, and hopefully the airplane's repairable. We'll get it back flying as well. But again, it is an honor to come. I've got to do this a few times. We have had jets in here before, not just to support EAA Oshkosh, but to support the Warbirds and Review and everything they're doing. So if you don't know Connie Bolin, she is obviously the force behind this, her and her husband Ed, which is back in the back over there. And it's just an amazing program because I've been able to be involved with not only the military airplanes, but with several of the World War II airplanes through them. And it's an incredible amount of our heritage, and to keep that alive is really a big force of her efforts. So thank you, Connie, for everything you've done for us and for me. But this is the obviously the F-16. Everyone knows a fair amount about it. Just obviously it's amazing to think about it. This airplane was actually built in 1987, so I was still in high school at the time. So we're certainly getting our money's worth, even the one we sent off the end of the runway. I tell everybody that thing is bought and paid for several times over. So, but our unit has picked up the lineage of the Tuskegee Airmen, which was a tremendous honor, obviously. I tell everyone from, if you compare an F-16 is really the modern-day P-51, and it's certainly being far outpaced by the new technology, like with our F-22, which we get to go down and play and fight with, and that's an amazing piece of machinery as well. Quite expensive, but boy, if we ever have any conflicts, it's like we tell everybody, we don't want to win 99-1, we want to win 100-0. So that airplane gives us the capability to do that. But as far as the F-16 goes, it really is the modern-day P-51. I tell everyone, it's hard to believe from everybody here, but of all the airplanes I have the honor to fly, the F-16 by far is the easiest airplane I fly. I could probably solo any one of you sitting here in this airplane before I could a Cessna, which is hard to imagine. And that's because the computers do so much for you in this airplane to really make it a very stable platform to really do what we do, and that's employing combat. So flying is almost secondary in the airplane from what we do, and really just heads down and running all the systems and all the missions that we've picked up in this airplane, which is fairly staggering. I think the F-16 first flew in 1969, 1970, so a year I was born. But they've since updated that airplane significantly, and it has picked up every role that we do, obviously with air-to-air, air-to-ground, close air support, which is what we're doing in Iraq. I've had the pleasure to be over four times to deploy. The Guard in itself gets to deploy pretty much every 18 months. In fact, our unit is coming back tomorrow, in fact, from being over in the Ukraine, which is pretty exciting. So they've been over there. First time a Guard unit has gone over and played with one of the one of our previous adversaries, and they've been over there flying with flankers and fulcrums. And I would have loved to have done that trip, but I was already committed to come to Oshkosh here. But about the airplane itself, obviously, we get to do a lot of missions, the biggest thing being mostly air-to-ground. But it is got the self-escort capability with air-to-air missiles. So in all reality, we, you know, in a perfect world, we fight our way in. We shoot down airplanes. Once we've cleared the airspace, we get to put on our air-to-ground hat. We have one of the most sophisticated targeting pods, which would be on the right side of the airplane. It's a lightning pod, and gives us the capability to go in and employ all, you know, pretty much at night. With the GPS munitions, it's all weather. You don't have to see the target anymore. So we tell everybody it's what we call 06 bombing. So you can take our colonels out to go fly, and they don't miss the target anymore. So if, as long as you can type in a coordinate, you can basically drop a bomb that will go straight in, and it's got less than a meter accuracy. So it's pretty amazing capability in that regard. But what I will tell you about the F-16, just flying characteristics, because everybody wants to know, how does it fly? Like I said, you are a voting member in this airplane. Once you take off, I'm sure most of you are pilots yourself. This airplane, if you accelerate and you're like in a smaller airplane, you obviously have to trim the airplane. Well, this airplane trims itself all the time, so it flies like it's on rails. You push the power up, and it will accelerate straight ahead, and you can go from basically from, you know, 150 knots to 500 knots in the expanse of a few seconds, and the airplane just goes completely straight. So, like I said, it's the fly portion of it is very, very easy to do. And figuring out what all the switches and knobs and everything else does while you're running the radar and you're running some of the targeting systems, that's really the part that is an art that it's a perishable skill. And hence why we spend 6 to 8 missions in the airplane each month in training. Now, to tell you a little bit about the Guard, because some people don't know the difference between the Guard and the active duty component. The Air National Guard has really picked up a tremendous role, obviously, since we're paced all over the globe now for doing everything, not to mention homeland defense. When we had the incident with 9/11, obviously most of the Guard units ended up going on to alert and carrying live missiles. Never in my life did I think I would get in an airplane that was fully loaded. You know, of course, I'm driving into work, and I get in an airplane and go fly over either New York or over the Pentagon, the White House, to go sit, and we did 24-hour-a-day combat air patrols. I certainly didn't think I would be flying an armed fighter over U.S. soil, and it certainly shocked all of us. But the Guard itself, I am a traditional guardsman, so my real job is flying for the airlines. And Uncle Sam's nice enough to ship me to Iraq every once in a while, let me get shot at, and let me shoot back, which is brings joy to my heart as well. But it's about really what's the most effective way to have a fighting force when we don't have, when we're in peacetime, really from what it cost us as and cost you as taxpayers to keep that airplane going. So, each state typically has several different Guard components. Like I said, there are full-time. Most people think the Guard are the weekend warriors. It couldn't be further from the truth of that. Our Guard actually is almost 7 day a week. The full-time component, those guys are there, and that is their full-time job as either a reserve or technician, and they're there typically Monday through Friday, plus Giro weekends, and then you have a percentage of them like me that are considered traditional guardsmen. So I come in, and I, instead of going to fly for the airlines, I actually go in and put in availability, and I go fly, and I keep my combat currencies. And then before we go to war, we'll go on orders for 2 or 3 months up to the point that we actually employ or deploy overseas, and then we truly, that's all we do. So about the time we arrive in theater, I've forgotten all about that 30-degree airline flying and not spilling your coffee or any of that stuff, and then we're ready to go out there and do what they spent all the money to teach us how to do. I don't want to take too much time because, obviously, the real important people that we want to talk to here is obviously as excited as I am about flying an F-16. Obviously, the real heroes are the people that we get to go in, and in our heritage bars, we get to tell a story all the time that we read out of the history books. And it was an honor to pick up the lineage of the Tuskegee Airmen for our squadron. I was supposed to bring a Red Tail jet, and we have two Red Tail. We call them the family models because they're two-seat airplanes. The military won't let us keep Red Tail airplanes because we can't go to combat with them. I've been real nice. I haven't made fun of the Navy since I've been here the whole time, and I've really wanted to, but since it is the 100-year anniversary for the Navy, I won't do that. And our arrival, I guess I shouldn't throw any spears. But like I said, I've had the opportunity to be in a P-51 and to think about what people have done and what the Tuskegee Airmen have done. It's an amazing story. And like I said, it's great for us to get to go around and to keep that heritage and that story alive, which we hope to continue doing. And obviously, being from Montgomery, we're right down where all the training was in Tuskegee. And again, I look forward to hearing the speech, the talk as well, and hearing your stories about really well before it was really the man, not the machine. And now, as much as we like to pretend it's the man, it's really the machine. I mean, it's incredible the tools that we have available to us. When back in those days, obviously the risks were far higher, and the losses were staggering, and these guys got up every day and went and did it again and again and again. So with that, like I said, I would take a few questions here if somebody wants to ask some questions. If not, then sure. we'll turn it over to really the person that I came here to that I want to hear speak. So any questions for me? It's kind of nice because it's a small group, so if anybody has any questions, I'd love to answer them. That makes it entirely too easy.
You can answer that question, huh? Okay, you can answer those easy questions if they come that easy, Ray, if there are none. Ladies and gentlemen, I have to tell you that Ray Fowler is always there when I need him. And especially if it involves flying an airplane. So I want to give a great big thanks to my friend Rafe Fowler. He is actually taking a P-51 back to Detroit today that I had the opportunity to either take that ride myself or give it to Ray, and I can tell you that he's always there for me, so I'm glad he is running off to fly the P-51 that you gentlemen fought in World War II. We don't fight with them, but we certainly enjoy preserving them in honor of all the veterans and to make them available for the young people coming along. So again, my thanks to Ray and to the Alabama Air National Guard for providing the F-16. The Navy is picking on you. They're making a lot of noise behind you, Ray.
I'm sure they are.
Thank you.
Like I said, everything I've got to do in aviation is because of Ed and Connie Boland, really. Like I said, she called me and said, "Hey, will you fly this airplane over?" I'm like, "Let me think. Okay, I'll do it." So it's not like I'm going out on a limb to go do this. But anyway, and she's an incredible resource as well to ask questions, not only with the EAA, but very involved with the Warbirds. And if you're not members with the EAA Warbirds, it's a great program. And what they do here, especially at Oshkosh, I mean, it's the only place that we go in a show. We get to go fly around a lot of shows. And as you know, you typically see one Mustang and you see a few Warbirds. I mean, to be in this environment, to see, I think, 25 Mustangs and to get to hear heroes speak that you only read about typically, it's an amazing program. And it's really through Ed and Connie Boland through Warbirds. So if you're not a member, go become a member as well. And it's a wonderful program. But anyway, thank you.
Thank you, Ray. That was our paid political announcement. Thank you very much. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is my distinct honor to introduce the Tuskegee Airmen. I'll bring up first the man who made this presentation possible today. That is Brian Smith. He is a biomedical engineer from Detroit area. He owns this beautiful T-6 here. Come on up, Brian, and I'll give you this microphone. I think it'll come on after about 3 seconds. Brian suggested that we would feature the T-6. That is the Tuskegee Airman airplane. And would you like to introduce Mr. Ross?
I would, and thank you, Connie, for having us here. We've enjoyed our stay here at Warbird Alley, and I have to make some corrections. I do not own this airplane. The Tuskegee Airmen National Museum owns this airplane. This airplane is owned by the Tuskegee Airmen, and that's a very special airplane. It's significant because this airplane actually served at Moton Field from 1943 to 1945. So it's very possible that some of the airmen, possibly Washington Ross, who I'm going to bring up in a minute, may have flown this airplane. And that's what's significant about this airplane. I am just privileged to fly the airplane and to maintain it. The Tuskegee Airmen Museum is located at historic Fort Wayne inside the city of Detroit in Michigan. It was started in 1987 by some of the original Tuskegee Airmen. They decided they wanted to keep their history alive and keep it accurate. And they have a great display there at historic Fort Wayne. I'm sort of a second generation in that era. I would be the son of a Tuskegee Airman if my dad had actually joined the Army Air Corps in 1945, but he didn't. He went into the infantry. So myself and my fellow Detroit chapter members are keeping the history alive and keeping airplanes like this flying. And I'd like to briefly introduce Arthur Green, the president of the Detroit chapter of Tuskegee Airmen Incorporated. Gwen McNeil, who is a second vice president of the Detroit chapter and board member of the museum, as well as Arthur Green. Then there's Mark and Colleen Brothers, who are members of the Detroit chapter, and John Stewart, who is just a little bit too young to be an original Tuskegee Airman. Now, the man of the hour is Washington Du Bois Ross. I'm going to ask him to come forward. I like this man because he tells it like it is, and he will give you a brief history of his life. Like to start out where he was born and his early childhood, things like that. I've heard the story before, so I kind of know what he's going to talk about. Save your questions for the end, because we'll ask you to ask questions.